13th Let Me Be Frank podcast, and we've got an old friend back with us. It's Nick Anton is here, and he has a brand new haircut.
Yeah, I'm back. It's good to be back, but I've been better. I did go full bald. It's coming back a little bit, mm-hmm. but I kept the long beard. The only problem is this morning I decided, nah, the beard needs to go, and now I look like Aaron Hernandez.
It's a killer look, I'll tell you that much.
The puns keep rolling in.
It's quick. You gotta be quick. That's what it's all about.
You know what? I've made better decisions, but luckily, they say it grows back. We'll see.
they do say that. Some better than others. Yours looks like it's coming in nicely, though.
You know what? I appreciate it. I need it. This is good radio, by the way.
It
talking
is.
Talking about
someone's haircut.
See.
Yes. So let's get to things you can listen to that are enjoyable, more so than talking about haircuts. Biggest news in baseball, Alex Rodriguez engaged to J-Lo. Huge news, huge rock that he got her. It kind of looked like one of those that you win in the crane game. But hey, whatever works. A-Rod Corp is flourishing right now.
You know, you say crane game, I say put in a couple quarters, spin it out.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't even want to know how much that costs. Not a ring guy.
Cost about 35 syringefuls.
Oh, okay. Wonder how that balances out, but we'll figure it out.
Yep, it's on his books. That's all that matters. It's a taxable thing. You know, it's all business.
Yeah, it seems like everybody in baseball is pretty happy to hear that this couple has finally get together, except for one person.
That man, the legend himself, Jose Can You See Seiko. Jose Canseco has taken to Twitter, and he is very, very adamant about this fact. We'll start March 10th, watching World of Dance, watching J-Lo, text A-Rod. Little does she know that he is cheating on her with my ex-wife, Jessica. Poor girl, she has no idea who he really is. Notice I added commas and periods and regular, you know,
punctuation
for grammar purposes. None of that is in Jose's. We'll move on to the next one. I was there a few months back with her when he called her on her phone. Jose now trying to reach the word count here, throwing in as many hers as he could. Alex Rodriguez, stop being a piece of shit. Stop cheating on Jennifer Lopez. Alex Rodriguez, I challenge you to a boxing or an MMA match anytime you want. And the last one was most recently 21 hours ago. As we're recording this, I am willing to take a polygraph to prove that what I'm saying about Alex Rodriguez is 100% accurate.
This comes off as like a night out that just gets progressively worse. And honestly, like the first tweet, okay, he's watching World of Dance, obviously, and you got to be.
It happens, you know?
You know what? I'm not going to question the guy for that.
But we all have those shows that we watch that you're like, ah, don't want to tell people, but you know what, if it makes
there's a whole
the story.
Channel called HGTV that's devoted to that.
Don't
kind
you
of
dare
stuff.
Talk bad about HGTV. I love that channel.
Well, that's why it's a guilty pleasure. That's why we're here.
There's no guilt about it.
This is now an HGTV podcast.
Yep. I hope you're ready.
Okay. And then it just gets aggressive, and then aggression turns into violence, and then violence turns into justification via inadmissible polygraphs. So you know, this is electric, to say the least, but it's very clear that Jose Canseco has lost his goddamn mind.
Yeah, I mean, not that we questioned it, really. Like, I think a lot of people knew that this was the case already. It's just now confirming everything we already knew. He's always been just out there, at least in the past, what, five-ish years or so. This definitely takes the cake. Maybe A-Rod is cheating on J-Lo. I doubt it, but
I don't particularly care that
much. What does it matter?
Canseco does.
He does.
I'm not sure if he had a bad experience with his five-game stint with the Bloomington Corn Belters, but it seems that after that, he's definitely gotten a bit crazier, and I'm just curious, is it the roids getting to him? It's got to be something. Old age? Maybe it was that ball that hit him in the head and then went over for a home run that caused some brain damage.
Just like a delayed response.
Yeah,
he's now suffering the consequences of that play.
I mean, have you ever gotten hit in the head with a baseball?
I have.
So have I. And it hurts.
It's not fun.
Yeah, but...
Don't do it at home.
It hurts even more when it goes over the fence for a home run. I can almost guarantee you that.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I love this drama, especially in the offseason. That's been...
So boring.
Drama-less.
So boring.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But I wonder if years from now, A-Rod's the one going crazy, sending mean tweets out to some younger person who is probably engaged to J-Lo in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like a passing of the torch, like a very clear signal from one to the other. Like, you can see their hands. A-Rod, I don't think, has responded yet, but once he does, it's like you can see their hands meeting. It's like the picture of God touching the finger.
Oh, yeah, Michelangelo.
Yes, where their fingers are about to touch. Like, that's exactly what it is.
I feel that. So who's A-Rod's next victim, then?
I mean, this is tough.
Roid rage guy, who's next? I mean...
I don't know. There's so many to choose from. I want to go with someone like... Ryan Howard, but I don't think he was, like, that roided up.
I don't know if he was at all, honestly. What I would want to see, let's take this whole nonsense out of the equation. I want to see Schilling and Clemens just getting in Twitter wars.
I mean, that...
that would be great.
I feel like... I don't know what the Rockets doing nowadays other than striking out kids at, like, the alumni baseball game or whatever he was pitching at the other day when he still had, like, 84 on his slider. But... I don't imagine he's a big Twitter user, and he's certainly not a meme guy like Curt Schilling.
Curt Schilling.
Curt loves the memes.
Well, then it would be like that call response that we're not getting from Canseco. Schilling just keeps throwing shade, and then Clemens just sitting there in the corner punching rice. Apparently that's what he used to do to work out. So.
I tell you what, we didn't need all those fancy workouts to win World War II. We certainly don't need him to pitch well in baseball. Just punch a bag of rice.
It's a children's game. It wasn't even a bag. It was like a barrel, and he punched down at it. Like, whenever, you know the term, go pound sand?
Yeah, like, straight, it's like that.
Roger Clemens took it a whole extra level.
Unbelievable. What a guy.
Yeah, definitely.
A rocket. Yeah, I mean, that's like, sure, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado signed. That was, you know, days ago, weeks ago at this point. Spring training is still there. It's nothing really major has happened at this point. But this is like the most entertaining thing. This is baseball trying to be the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have Will Ferrell playing for 30 teams, so what else? What's the next best thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know. That is essentially all the baseball recap news we have. We saw the Pecota ratings projections... And we decided that we could do that, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people, especially Red Sox fans and Cubs fans, are very mad. Cubs projected last after, you know, making a wild card game.
And under 500.
Yeah, at 79 wins. And then Red Sox getting beat by the Yankees by quite a few games, too. So it has some odd teams winning their divisions, too. I think it has Washington winning the East. I don't know how you feel about that. But anyway, as Brian said, anybody can make projections.
So we're doing it now.
Yeah, we're going to do it right now.
We, but disclaimer, we did not go through the schedule. We do not know. This math doesn't work out other than every team will be scheduled to play 162 games.
Thank you for that qualifier.
And that is how we will base their record. If anything else were to happen, there will be a rationalization for it. But we'll start in the AL West. Take us through each team. Tell us how you think they're going to do, and we'll see where I come in.
Okay. I have Astros winning the division at 89-73.
Wow. We're way off already.
Okay. Angels, second place at 85-77.
Okay.
Athletics, 82-74.
Okay.
Then it gets interesting. I have the Rangers at 71-90 and the Mariners at 62-99. And you're thinking, hey, Nick.
That's a game short.
The math doesn't match up. Well, guess what? I hear it rains in Seattle.
It does.
Quite a bit, actually.
It's also sleepless there.
Yeah, it sure is. And so they're going to have a April game that's going to get rained out. And since both these teams are in last place, they're not going to play it. Good news for the Mariners, though. That leaves them a loss short of a 100-loss season. Which I consider to be a win.
That's a big win. I have Houston winning the division at 104-58.
Oh my.
Yep. The Rangers in second at 84-78. The Angels at an even 81-81. Oakland is 77-85, and Seattle gets that 100 loss. They're 62-100.
Yeah, so I'm curious. Yeah, where is this the Ranger love coming from?
I just feel like they always play well every other year, and they're just due for it.
Okay.
They've been quiet for seemingly, what, the last 2 years or so?
Well, everybody but Joey Gallo has been quiet, getting more homers than singles in a season.
Yes. The statistics are there. The reasons to draw you in are there, but the team play hasn't been there.
Yeah, no Profar, too, but they sent him to the A's, who I think is going to blow up this year. We'll see how it goes.
It'll be interesting. I mean, this is going to be a fun division to watch. We'll move over to maybe a not-so-fun division to watch, the AL Central. What do you have there?
Although it will only take, by my calculations, 81 games to win the division, I have Cleveland coming in at first at 94-68.
We're very close.
Okay, yeah, because they get to play all the teams below them many times.
Correct.
Minnesota coming in second place at 80-82.
Okay.
Tigers, third place, 75-87.
Okay.
Your Chicago White Sox at 68-94.
Oof.
And your Kansas City Royals at a slick 60-102.
All right, I had less. We were pretty close on a couple. I didn't go as far down with the bottom teams. I had the Indians, the I-words, excuse me, at 93-69. I had the Twins at 89-73.
Wow, okay.
I have Detroit at 77-85. I have the White Stockings at 75-87. And I have the Royals at 72-90. I gave the Sox a couple extra wins because Ricky's boys don't quit, and that is important to me. I think that the will to win, as the late, great Hawk Harrelson would say, is very important. And while it may not be quantifiable, I'm going to make it that way.
I think it's for the sake of some of our friends that they get at least 70 wins.
Yes.
I thought you was interesting was your Minnesota projection. That probably comes with Byron Buxton actually playing like a Major League Baseball.
Correct. It takes a couple breakthrough seasons. It takes, you know, top prospects panning out, which we've seen not happen, especially for the Twins lately. But there's pitching there. They've got a couple good arms, and that's what they need to get there. And that's why Pecota loves the Nationals, because the Nationals really don't have much outside of Soto and Rendon, and then their arms.
Yeah, and they got Nelson Cruz, and they got Marwin Gonzalez, so they got some bats. We'll see how it goes.
The AL East. I'm going to open it up here. Red Sox win it again, 97-68.
Oh, we are way off. Go on.
Yankees, 90-72. Rays, 86-76. Blue Jays, 65-97. Orioles, 62-100.
Okay, this is a fun one actually. Now that I've heard yours, Yankees 101-61.
God,
I don't like them either, but
they play in a minor league ballpark.
Exactly,
actually a little league ballpark. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's tiny. You've got all the boppers. They locked Hicks up to a pretty awesome contract, so he's gonna play up to it, I believe. Second place, Rays 94-68.
Wow.
Yeah, I love relief pitchers. And so do our folks in Tampa, and let me tell you.
They clearly do. They've got, what, three starters?
Their depth chart currently has three starting pitchers right now, and I'm loving it.
And Blake Snell's a pretty darn good one.
He's great. And then they, anyway, we're just going to move on to my Red Sox. Not my Red Sox. Ugh. Red Sox at 88-74 in third place. Toronto at 75-87, and the O's just missing out on fourth place with 73-89.
Okay. So that leaves my playoff teams are Houston, Cleveland, Boston, and then the Yankees and the Twins in the wild card.
Oh, yeah. So we're really close there. I've got Astros, Indians, Yankees winning the division. Rays and Red Sox play in the wild card game where literally 25 relievers get used.
Good God. That is going to be.
But that's going to be something else. I think the Rays take that one because the Red Sox bullpen, they lose Joe Kelly. They're probably not going to re-sign Kimbrel. They still have some good arms, but those are the best two they had, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the Reds, I feel like there are so many guys that just come out of nowhere every year, especially out of the bullpen, that it's so hard when a team loses quality arms to see if they're going to pick up the innings or if it's actually going to go downhill.
I will say this. Jackie Bradley Jr. will be...
JBJ is filthy.
Will be a top five MVP candidate this year.
Mookie Betts is filthy. Like that.
He is. And
Benintendi.
Right, but they're going to have to pitch around those guys, and Bradley's going to be the one getting favorable counts and everything like that. So I think that's... He changes swings, supposedly, so I'm assuming that it's for the better, not for the worse.
We'll see.
We'll find out.
We'll move to the NL West. I'll lead it off here. I'll let you close up, and then you'll open the NL East. I've got the Doyers at 98-67, the Rockies 91-71. The Diamondbacks, 81-81. I skipped out on the Giants, who I think are going to go 86-76. And then the Fathers of San Diego, 77-85.
Okay.
So that was asked backwards. But yeah, for those scoring at home, San Francisco above Arizona.
Okay. I've got LA at 92-70. Colorado at 87-75.
Okay.
Los Padres at 81-81. I love their bullpen. San Francisco at 71-91, and then Arizona at 68-94.
We are very off on the Diamondbacks and the Giants here.
Yeah, I mean, I love the D-backs signing Jones. Was it yesterday? But I just don't think it's enough. They stripped that team down. No more Goldschmidt. They lost, who was the center fielder that went to L.A. to? Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Cannot remember his name.
Great radio. Anyway, they just lost too many pieces. They didn't get enough back. They lost Patrick Corbin, too, who was great last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's like the Greinke and Robbie Ray show, and I just don't think that's going to get it done. L.A., though, you have them way more wins than I do.
Still, I do.
Yeah, I win in the division still, but at that point.
I don't know. I feel like they're going to take the games against teams out of their division, but they're also going to win well in the division. I think the only team that really gives them trouble is Colorado, and they only play them so many times.
Yeah, I think they're better than Colorado. Their bullpen is filth. They just signed Joe Kelly, who is a top 10 reliever in my opinion, but supposedly yesterday his back is a little sore because he was making gumbo for his teammates, and he was stirring for quite some time.
Oh my god.
So the guy looks crazy. Like, the guy looks like he grabs his newspaper with the robe on in the morning. Like, that kind of levels of crazy.
Yeah.
So, but if they stay healthy, which is a big question mark, they'll be good.
It is. I mean, we haven't seen a healthy Dodgers team in 3 years, maybe?
There's no guarantee we will this year either, but as of right now, I mean, they got Seager back too, so.
Yeah, that'll help.
And then the headache that is Yasiel Puig, who I still love, by the way.
I think he's great. I don't know. Yeah. Like, he's in Cincinnati now, obviously, but. Oh, well, the NL East, what do you got?
All right, I've got Atlanta repeating at 89-73.
Okay.
Philadelphia, second place, 83-79.
Okay.
Washington, 80-82.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Metropolitans at 78-84. And then Curtis Granderson and your Fighting Miami Marlins at 59-103.
We're pretty close on the Braves and the Marlins, but that's about it.
So it's like an Oreo cookie of confusion.
Yes.
Okay.
I've got the Braves winning the division 93-69. I've got Philly in second, 86-76. The Nationals, third, 84-78. The Mets at 66-96. I think this is the year they finally strip it down and sell it for parts. I really do. Like, this team is going to start off, maybe they get off to another 10-1 start where it's their best in, you know, franchise history or whatever the record was. They're going to end poorly. This team is not built to win. This team is not ready to win. They're going to need to strip this thing down, get some players back, get some prospects, and realize that it's going to take a little while longer.
So where's Syndergaard going?
That's a question for another time.
Oh, no. I want to hear it now.
He will go to Boston.
Boston?
Yes.
I have him going to the Astros because Keuchel, who is still unsigned, by the way, won't be part of the rotation.
That's fair. That would make sense. Then the Marlins I have at 54-108.
Yeah, so we're close there, too. What kind of gimmicks do the Marlins pull out by the end of the year to get fans to come out? Does Ozzie Guillen get a game at shortstop?
He should. I mean, he should, but he won't.
No, he won't.
Give me something to do with their, like, they'll go each player with the in the starting lineup or that get the most starts throughout like all the months up until September, and then they'll take their last name, and any person with that same last name gets free tickets to the game.
Okay, yeah, so this would be very, if the White Sox did that, it'd be very interesting, considering they had the outfield of the brothers Garcia.
Yes.
Last year.
A lot of Garcias in the house.
Yeah, so one less, unfortunately, but...
R.I.P. Avi.
Yeah, but they still got plenty of those. Yeah, I honestly think, was it a couple years ago that the Cubs brought back that one minor league, or the one Major League Baseball player who got beamed in the head? Against the Marlins brought him back when the Cubs were about to be a 100 loss team, and he got like some MLB time.
Yep.
How great would it have been if he got beat in the head again, though?
That would have been something else. I mean, they just like tell the Cubs that this is going to happen, and they're like, hey, you know what to do.
You know what to do. Oh, that would have been great. You said Cubs. Let's do it. I want to hear your NL Central picks, because this is obviously a very interesting division.
NL Central, the Chicago Cubs 93 and 69. The Milwaukee Brewers 90 and 72, St. Louis Cardinals 88 and 74, Cincinnati Reds 80 and 82, and the Pittsburgh Pirates 75 and 87.
Okay, yeah, we didn't actually. I thought this would be the one where we'd get the right order in the same teams, and we still didn't.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I know. So Chicago Cubs 88 and 74 wins the division.
Okay.
St. Louis Cardinals 85 and 77. That bullpen is absolutely filthy. Oh, my goodness. It'll be exciting. Milwaukee, 83 and 79. Cincinnati, 77 and 85. And Pittsburgh Pirates rounding out the bottom at 71 and 91. So what are your thoughts on that?
I'm intrigued by, like, I know you're a relief pitcher guy. And I know that you like Goldschmidt. I'm still intrigued that the Cardinals are so highly... I understand Milwaukee had a lot of career years essentially last year, but I feel like a regression to the mean for most of those guys still is good enough to get them in second.
Yeah, as you said, I'm a big reliever guy, but also I think starting pitching is important, and I have a lot of trouble with the Brewer starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to Council's going to rely on the relievers too early in the season, and something's going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Woodruff's good. I just think that Milwaukee, I think that was a flash in the pan last year. In regards to St. Louis, I think that Ozuna had a down year. They finally have a everyday outfielder in Harrison Bader, as opposed to trying to figure out if Dexter Fowler is the guy, who last year he wasn't. Fans hate him there. He's always welcome back in Chicago.
Always welcome.
Always. I just think that they have two of the top 10 starting pitchers in the National League, and Miles Michaelis and Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty being my dark horse Cy Young pick. And he is looking absolutely nasty in spring training right now. So that's why I have him second. The Cincinnati hype is absurd.
It's so ridiculous.
It is so absurd.
They're taking a team that was so bad last season. They're adding good players, sure, but it's not filling gaps, really.
No, okay, you got rid of the Homer Bailey contract. Congrats.
Yep.
Christian Bale goes to L.A. I don't even know if he's still on the team there or not.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you get Yasiel Puig, who is a freak athlete. I love him, but just hasn't produced consistently throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Kemp they get, who had a great season last year, but was like a fat slob almost out of baseball like 2 years before that.
Right.
I mean, the Rihanna breakup just destroyed him. So
it'll do it to you.
These baseball celebrity-singer relationships, can they end well? We'll find out. It all comes full circle. And then Pittsburgh has one of the best outfields in the National League, but I don't know. There's just not enough there.
Yeah. So your playoff teams are?
I've got L.A. Actually having the best record, Chicago and Atlanta winning the divisions. Then you have a wild card game of Colorado and St. Louis.
So I have L.A., Chicago, Atlanta with Milwaukee and Colorado in the wild card game. We literally differed on two teams this entire time.
Yeah.
And it was both in the wild card games. Let's talk Cubs. Obviously, Chicago podcast, Chicago guys, Cubs fans, nothing against the White Sox, you know. I was hoping they'd make a splash and do something this offseason.
I wanted it so bad, you know.
And they didn't do it. And I feel bad for my friends that are White Sox fans. Like, it's been 120 years of baseball, and they made the playoffs 9 times.
Well, it's not even that, too, right? So every rational Sox fan this offseason, I guess we were not talking Cubs. We're still talking Sox.
Yes, we'll talk Sox for a bit and then go to the Cubs.
Any rational Sox fan was so cautiously optimistic throughout this entire offseason because even the quote-unquote baseball writers, end quote.
Oh, let's talk about that in a minute,
yeah,
too. That's pathetic.
Had no idea where they were going to go, where Harper and Machado were going to go. So the fact that Sox fans had to be excited but weren't allowed to show it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally got the anvil dropped on their head, and all the emotions just exploded. And it wasn't just from Bohan. It was from a lot of Sox fans. Unfortunately, some trying to justify, others attempting to crucify management. I prefer to side with the latter in the crucifixion section.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, the rebuild could be dead.
Yeah, I mean, look at what happened in the days following the Machado signing.
Yeah.
Like, Luis Robert got hurt.
Basabe, broken hand.
Yes. There were so many. I think Basabe broke his hand literally 20 minutes after the news broke.
Yeah. And so
You're relying on guys that have never played professional baseball to pan out and be as good as the guys you could have gotten right now.
Right. So you have to. The biggest problem with the Sox, I think, is they don't really know when their window is.
Yeah.
Which, when
they keep pushing it back because of these injuries, but it's like, at some point or another, I hate comparing it to the Cubs because it's a completely different thing.
Right.
But that's the only thing we really have to look off of. The Cubs drafted their guys, and whether they were ready or not, when they saw John Lester was a free agent, they went out and got him, and that was a clear sign that the window is opening. And
right,
that you got to get your guys up and get them MLB time and start playing.
Same with Jason Hayward, as much as that's so cringeworthy for Cubs fans to hear. That was an all-in move.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel for the Sox fans, but their justifications are then furthered into saying, oh, we're going to get Arenado.
He signs.
Signs big extension, and which leads me to believe that it is the era of free agency is at least being watered down in favor of the era of extensions.
Yeah.
And I think Arenado will be seen as the pioneer of that, staying in Colorado for pretty much the bulk of his career then.
I mean, Mike Trout is really the last frontier at this point.
Right. And
what he does, that will dictate where free agency goes in baseball, I think.
Right. Free agency might turn into the, I need a utility player, let's wait for free agency,
yep,
as opposed to the, you know, lock up your guys. So it's going to be a trade and extend kind of thing.
Yep.
All right. You wanted to talk about baseball
writers. Baseball writers, good God.
Or lack thereof.
The Baseball Writers of America, like, I always bitch about them come, what's it called? Hall of Fame voting.
Time, yeah,
because they're just so ridiculous. They're so ridiculous. They decide to grow a conscience for certain things and then fail to realize that steroids are the only reason they all have jobs still. No one knew what the fuck was going on with the Bryce Harper and Manny Machado thing, and yet every day they would publish bullshit articles or bullshit tweets saying they have heard from sources, whatever it was, that they were leaning one way or the other, one way or the other. And it's like, if you don't have news, you don't have to make news.
Right, and they
would get that it's your job to be writing this stuff and to be reporting on it, but there's nothing to report on. You don't have to go out on a limb and be like, ah, I've got like maybe one sketchy source that's telling me Machado got black and white gloves, so he's going to the White Sox. Like, shut up.
Well, yeah, and they were running with bad sources.
Yes, yes.
That was my biggest issue, was
yes,
they found some guy who knew some guy whose cousin worked at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Or some guy that just had Photoshop that could create images and is like, oh, look at this.
Right. I mean, it was absurd. The baseball writers, like, owe an apology. Even the best ones had garbage day after day.
There are no good baseball writers.
Right, like, but you'd think, like, I'm not going to pay for subscriptions, but you'd think Rosenthal would have good sources or something like that, or any of those guys that work for The Athletic, or any credible, oh, I can't even say credible, but it was just, it was insane. Like, there was garbage getting thrown at you every day.
This was the single worst offseason for baseball, maybe ever.
Not just baseball, worst offseason in any professional sport.
Yeah.
Like, even hockey was more interesting than this last year.
Hockey's always interesting, like, but it's only lasts a day.
Right, right. Like, because all the moves happen
on
right
Canada Day.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, shame on baseball. Shame on the baseball writers in this offseason. But,
all right, let's talk Cubs.
Yeah, let's.
we got. It was a long-winded way to get here. Coming off, what, 95 wins last year and a wild card loss, pretty much blew the division down the stretch. All they had to do was win one more game in the regular season. They would have clinched the division, not had to play in the wild card. Yet here they are. Chris Bryant dealt with an injury most of the season. Anthony Rizzo had a terrible first half. Addison Russell was non-existent. Pitching was not good. The bullpen was terrible. Tyler Chatwood walking more guys than he struck out. The list goes on and on of things that went wrong. Wilson Contreras didn't hit the ball whatsoever. He got Mia Khalifa'd. And it, like, the whole team outside of David Bodie and Javi Baez were gone. And David Bodie didn't even hit the ball that well. I think he hit like 260 throughout the year.
I think it was less than that. But
he had the huge, obviously, still gives me chills, the walk-off grand slam against the Nationals.
Oh, I was there. It was a thing of beauty.
That game was unbelievable. And then he obviously played strong defense. But it's like, we're still waiting for Schwarber to hit the ball. We're still waiting for Jason Hayward to maybe figure it out. And he certainly hit the ball better. But he doesn't. He's 6'6", 260, and he can't hit a home run.
Here's the thing with Jason Hayward. I have a lot to say about what you just said. First of all, with all of those negative things you said,
they still won 95 games.
Still won 95 games. Okay, so that's very hopeful for Cubs fans.
Yeah.
Jason Hayward, I can guarantee you, was the first pick in everybody's tug-of-war when they were a little kid because they said, this guy's big, he's strong,
yep,
we're going to get the win. But guess what? Sometimes those guys just aren't that guy.
Yep.
But he still had a great year comparatively last year.
I mean, he's an excellent fielder. Like, no one's ever going to take that away from him. He's gold glove every time he steps out onto the field. The problem is they didn't need a gold glove fielder. They needed a guy that could hit the ball.
Right.
And when you can't put Kyle Schwarber in the opposite corner, or Chris Bryant for that matter, that's where it kills you.
Yeah, that's where you run into a problem. Here's the thing, though. Hayward only has had one season where he's batted over 300. Last year, he batted like 270-something, which for him, I was...
Massive year.
Thoroughly impressed. He was the least of the problems.
He was. I mean, we're talking about him now, but he certainly was not an issue. Like,
he's still not living up to that contract, but...
By the standards of what he's set and what we've come to expect, he was phenomenal last year.
No, I enjoyed watching him play. He had that walk-off grand slam against the Phillies.
Yeah.
It was a great moment. Here's the thing, though. We have a lot to complain about because we're Cub fans. The worst fans in baseball, take a guess who they are.
Well, the Yankees are the worst fans in baseball.
No.
100%.
The worst fans in baseball are the fans of the teams that are winning. It doesn't matter.
I mean, so that makes sense.
Right. And ask any White Sox fan or any Baltimore fan who has to deal with Yankees fans or something like that.
Ask the Cubs fans 5 years ago.
Right. Exactly. Who's the worst team? It's the team who's winning, all right? So I talk to fans every single day about the Cubs, and they all have their own ideas of what the Cubs should do. And it usually leads with, we got to get rid of Joe Maddon.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here.
Like, I'm not a Joe Maddon guy, so I want to hear this.
Okay.
I like his personality. I don't know. His attitude towards the team is great. Like, the guys love him. That's awesome. Cool. I feel like he overmanages way more often than not. And frankly, I am praying to God that baseball implements the pitchers must face three batters rule, because it will save Joe Maddon in so many games.
Oh, yeah, no, it will do him good. He does overmanage the bullpen. But the reason that he gets a little finicky with the bullpen is because he has a lead late in the game.
Right.
So you look at his tenure with the Cubs, 2015, miraculously making a wild card in a division where three teams made the playoffs, World Series. Then they lose to the Dodgers with a chance to get to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make the playoffs and lose to the Rockies in the wild card. So 4 years straight, they're making the playoffs, right? So you mentioned that if the Cubs would have just won one more game, they wouldn't have had to deal with it. Well, there was a lot of games they shouldn't have won that they won anyway.
It happens every year. 10-run
comeback in Atlanta. They had
the Nationals game that we talked about.
Nationals
already.
With Bodie. They had the Hayward with the walk-off. So I'm not nitpicking saying we should have got one more win. There was a couple wins in that or losses in that last week that really ticked me off, especially in that Pittsburgh series.
Yep.
But I'm all in on Joe. Extend him for life. I don't care. Because my question to you is, if you don't have Joe Maddon, who do you want?
That's a tough question because it's like, you're looking for the guy, you're looking for a mix of Dave Roberts, where the players love him. Like, he's a great clubhouse manager and everything like that.
Great dude.
But you need the guy that when it's on the line, he's going to put his nuts on the table. Kind of like an Alex Cora or Joe Girardi was early in his career.
See,
I don't want Joe Girardi. Okay, I'm saying his characteristics.
You. Yeah.
Like his characteristics of, I don't care what's happening, we're going to win the game. I'm going to make the move that's going to win the game. Tito Francona, another great guy. I just don't know, like, off the cuff, who is that guy.
No, I couldn't tell you who's out there that would fit the mold better.
The characteristics, I would love a mix of Dave Roberts and Terry Francona.
So you'd like a young La Russa, pretty much.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so...
Maybe like a young Lou Piniella or a Bobby Cox.
Okay, so we want that fire.
Fiery guy, but not getting that from Joe. That his guys love him, but he's also not afraid to tug you if you're making a poor or you're playing a poor game.
See, I think you're because Joe is kind of like this Zen master. You're almost overlooking his fire. He gets pitched a lot.
He does. But I think it's at the wrong things.
It's on balls and strike calls.
Yes.
It's not about, you know, but getting pitched as a manager has nothing to do with the call going the wrong way. It's all about the right time to fire up your guys.
Yeah, I still don't think he does that, though. I think he misses the opportunity more often than not, or does it at the wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, he had great bench coaches in the past, that was a good... Like, he had Dave Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Who does he have now? Is it...
He did Paul have Davey Martinez. He was great, too.
I didn't say... I said, Davey Martinez, not Dave Roberts. I think Paul Aduka is the guy now, is the bench coach.
No way.
Now. Yeah.
Paul Aduka?
Is it? No.
Of TVG?
I'm getting that wrong.
The legend.
I know they signed a...
Let's take a look.
Look this up. But anyway...
The stats department's on it.
Yeah. Stats department is in... Looking it up in the computer right now, yeah. No, and they had...
Mark Loretta,
not Paul Aduka.
You're very close.
You know what? The syllables, the lows, we got it, though.
Yep, we're there.
Okay, yeah, no, I think he's a great guy to have now. And they have... who was it last year? Who's now the Orioles manager? Is Brandon Hyde.
Oh, yes.
So it's like everybody under Joe is getting hired. It's like the...
The coaching tree,
yeah, so... Yeah, I'm all in on Joe. And here's the thing. Wilson Contreras isn't going to get Khalifa this year, hopefully.
Let's hope not.
I mean, all these guys aren't going to underperform. Bryant's knocking the cover off the ball. Darvish is throwing 97 miles an hour in spring.
Yeah, training. We didn't even talk about you, Darvish.
Yeah, and we should, honestly, because...
I don't like the contract because I think it took them out of the Machado/Harper race. But... They clearly need a starting pitcher more than they need a Bryce Harper or Manny Machado.
Right, so...
So that's the only way you can rationalize it. Because if... Honestly, if he just comes back and is better than Tyler Chatwood was last year, the team's fine. Cole Hamels probably isn't going to be as great as he was last season, but he's still a reliable, solid veteran pitcher. John Lester needs to be great again. Kyle Hendricks needs to be great. Quintana needs to show something, for the love of God.
Yeah, that's the one question mark that's been bugging me a bit, just because...
I really think it's the rotation. Like, the bullpen sucked, but I think the rotation has the bigger onus this year than the bullpen.
I want to talk about the bullpen in a little bit, but I do want to talk about Darvish and the fact that I don't even think he was healthy to start the year last year at all.
Yeah, certainly.
And the pressure that this guy puts on himself, he pitched through... tweaking pain, and tweaking pain became injury.
Yeah.
Cub fans need to lay off, though,
but
man.
That's on him, too. Like, I get you want to perform and do well, but you have to know that you're putting yourself at risk for bigger injury, and someone just made millions upon millions of dollars investment in you, and if you can't do your job, that's negligence, essentially.
Right, no, look, he's a guy who cares a little too much.
Yeah, to a fault.
To a fault.
Which is good.
Which is what you want.
Yeah.
Now, he's almost hit.
That's what I want in my manager, not my number two starter.
Yeah. But I think you do have it with Joe. Until anyone can name Joe's successor, you just keep signing Joe.
Yeah, I think he's getting tired of the job, though.
Well, I think this is his last stop before retirement, before he just hops in a bus and travels continental United States.
No, he's going to go work for ESPN, I bet, for like 2 years and then, you know, travel around with the Sunday Night Baseball crew.
You think so? He'll jump in with his boy Rossi then and work that out.
Yeah, David Ross will be the next Cubs manager, and I don't like that whatsoever.
No, I don't like that either.
I'm going to guarantee it, though.
Oh, man.
On the right now, guarantee.
Cash on the table. There it is. Hold on.
Put it down.
It was actually...
It's actually cash.
It was a $100 bill. I was expecting a one. I have a couple coins in my wallet I could add to that pot. Anyway, last thing I want to talk about with the Cubs is the bullpen.
Yeah.
The bullpen this year is going to be top 10.
Okay. That's good. They need it.
Yeah. No, they do. Brandon Morrow, man.
Will be healthy.
Let's hope.
Hopefully.
He's not slated to come back right at the beginning of the season, so who's going to close? Probably Strope, who was phenomenal last year.
He had a great year.
Cishek was great. He was just overused, but that was because of all the other injuries. They made a signing about 2-3 weeks ago that no one is talking about, and it's Xavier Cedeño, who was a White Sox, got traded to Milwaukee, and by my calculations is a top 10 reliever in baseball based on how well he handles the game.
Brad Brock's a good signing, too.
Brad Brock, former closer when Zach Britton was hurt with the Orioles.
He's great to have at the back end there.
But Cedeño is coming in. He just hurt his hand, so he's not going to be ready for right when the season starts, which is really unfortunate because he is a stud. And he's one of those guys that will never do anything exciting. He'll just do his business and leave. So, Edwards, that's
my... CJ is the key to the bullpen.
He is, because... He's got to be young. Don't think about it, CJ.
Both middle relief, and he can be, you know, a shutdown guy in the eighth or the seventh, whatever they need.
I mean, Montgomery, is he going to be starting? Is he going to be relieving? Hopefully.
They've got so much depth.
That's what I'm saying.
Starter.
So if you look at, every other team in the division, there's probably, I'd say the Cardinals have better relief pitching. I would say that the Brewers probably have hotter bats or better bats when everyone's playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But no one is consistently second place across the board and first place in some categories, right? Fielding, the Cubs have the best fielding team, I think, in the division. So they're best in fielding, they're second in hitting, second in relief pitching, and probably rotation depth, number one.
Yeah.
Not the best top-end starters, but consistent up and down.
Yeah.
So I think that alone is why I had them winning the division by a small number of games. But the division's going to beat itself up so much that 88 wins, in my opinion, wins the division. That kind of depth's going to help in the playoffs, too.
That's our show right there. That's all you need to know. A lot of Cubs talk, a lot of baseball talk. Our predictions, which will be better than Pecota's, that's a guarantee. Not slamming the cash down again, but that's a guarantee.
Coins on the table.
We will come back later in the season to check on these. I will not forget. I guarantee it. I'm going to put a reminder in my phone right after we finish this, but we appreciate you listening. We'll check us out at letmebefrankblog.com. Nick, we'll have you back on later in the season to discuss.
Stay pretty, Chicago.
Always a pleasure.
My pleasure is all mine. Well, I beat the drum and hold the phone. The sun came out today. We're born